Our text is the lesson just read from Hosea chapter 3. In the name of the coming one, the true Messiah, amen. Theological education at its best can be a grand and glorious adventure. In fact, I've had students reflect and share the view upon having discovered some new insight into Holy Scripture or some new application of the gospel on how heavenly it is to be at the seminary. At the same time, some students, after taking particular exams or facing particularly wintry days, have indicated to me how close heaven can be to its counterpart. One place in a seminarian's life where these two prospects of heaven or its counterpart can loom very large in a seminarian's mind is the reflections on future calls, whether on vicarage or in final placement. It might well be heaven, but on the other hand, it might carry some very grave challenges. Well, if there's one thing that I can assure you this morning is that none of you will receive a call like Hosea. He was asked by God to go and marry a non-Missouri Synod girl. Furthermore, that girl wasn't incidental. She was pivotal to God's commission. For Hosea's ministry was to be a lived-out object lesson of God's relationship with Israel. And how appropriate it is that the church has appointed readings from Hosea for the Advent season, a time traditionally for contrition and repentance. For as we look at Hosea, there are two thoughts that immediately I think must come to mind. The one is that he had a terrifically challenging call. For him, there would be no distinction between his public work and his private life, or his professional ministry on the one hand, and his personal family hearth on the other. They were intertwined inextricably, so that his home life was an embodiment of his message and vice versa. The Israelites, as you know, were given to go after other gods. And Hosea was sent to Israel at a time when that alternative worldview, Baal worship, was particularly virulent. If you look at Baal worship, as we have now uncovered it at Ugarit, it was a whole view of humanity. It was a conceptual package that rendered your life complete in terms of Baal, so that every aspect of your ethos and living would be impinged upon and defined by your allegiance to Baal. And because it was such a winsome and convincing package, the equal, I think, of modern secularism, a good share of Israel went after Baal. In fact, we're told in the second chapter of Hosea that when God gave grain and corn to Israel, they were confessing that Baal gave it, so that the very one who was giving it was denied, and the one who didn't exist was being acknowledged. Well, what was Hosea's reaction? But even more telling, what was God's directive to Hosea? All of you will all too soon in the ministry experience some of the pain and even the anger that a spouse betrayed will feel over toward the unfaithful partner. And you'll see cases where there is fault and culpability. It's a chimera to say that there's never an innocent party. There are cases where there are guilty parties. And if there was ever a case, it was this that Hosea faced. For God's people had gone after other gods. But what is Hosea told to do? Go again, verse 1 says. Go again and love a woman beloved of a paramour. What a glorious paradigm for Advent. Because God, in coming to this planet, is loving an adulterous people, an unfaithful humanity. All who are in Adam do not deserve that coming. They deserve to be shunned, condemned, and refused access to God. But God, even as he told Hosea to go again, promised Hosea in verse 5, afterward the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. Hosea trusted in the coming Messiah, the greater son of David, who would be there when the full glory of God's coming in grace would be revealed to that remnant people. So Advent is a time for you and for me to be contrite. Not to reflect upon the wickedness of the world, but to come and confess our sin. And to then rejoice that God has told not only Hosea, but also his son, to go and to love us again. In fact, so dramatic is this gospel that a bit earlier Hosea puts it like this, therefore I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find the paths that lead to her lovers. Surely in our baptism, God has hedged us about so that our little veils, so that our infidelities are contained. He has held us to himself, and he has come over and over again in that great absolution of the gospel, pronouncing our sins no more, pronouncing us just, so that we can anticipate his coming, not with fear, but with faith. God comes. And Advent is not a quaint coming, but it's a dirty and a messy thing. Like a good and faithful spouse coming to the unfaithful partner and displaying love that endures, forgiveness that truly forgives, and grace that knows no bounds. You and I are beneficiaries of such love in the Messiah, who comes today and every day to forgive us, to redeem us, and to make us his. May God hold us in that wonderful hedge until his final coming. Amen.